Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Oh, yeah. Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Well, if you're right, don't you? You ain't got a chance. Make that old pig and then dance. Can't get the fish in the line and in the water.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And also, sort of in studios, we have Mike the Grizz from Adventures South of the Border. But we've got a very special guest that we always really enjoy having coming on and visiting with us, because there's a company that is, I guess you might call it the 600-pound gorilla in the fishing business, that they have tremendous resources. And one of the things that they do is they are always on the cutting edge of technology. And we have deep from the laboratory, somewhere down in a cave. And I'm not sure exactly where you are, John, but you know, they keep him, Berkeley keeps him down there constantly innovating and finding and researching new materials and new products for Berkeley. We have John Prock now.
Hey, thanks, John. Glad to be a part of your show again.
How you doing, John?
Hey, Grizz, that's got to be. I hear that voice. I know it's got to be the Grizz.
Yeah, there ain't no other.
Well, one of the things that we're going to be talking about today, if we can, I know that you're held to very strict codes of secrecy, but this is the time of the year where a lot of new products are introduced, and maybe we can find a little bit about what some of those are, or maybe improvements on the old ones, or if the old ones are still working. So I'm not sure where to start, but let's go ahead and start with what your real research is, and that is, well, why don't you explain it?
Well, what we do here, John, is we develop products that the fish tell us that they like as far as scent and flavor in particular, and then we work with our pros and guides and anglers out in the field to design actions and colors and shapes that that the anglers have had good luck with and success. So we incorporate all that, and then we use the science of chemistry and biology. Myself, I'm a chemist and chemical engineer by education and trade, and I work closely with fish biologists in determining what it is that fish like and putting them into, I call them, delivery systems that we can use as anglers to catch more fish.
Well, and it works. You know, what's really amazing is that it has come down to a science, because the art of fishing has certainly changed a little bit over the years. But what you guys do, it really works, because I can attest to that. I've seen it work. And it's not just, you know, most, in my experience, most lures and most baits are actually designed to catch the angler, because that's the one that buys it. But, and the catching fish may or may not happen. But, you know, what you guys do, take a very scientific approach to it, so that it really does work.
That's right, John, and that's what sets us apart. Tom Bedell, in his wisdom, had actually brought this company up from his dad, who started it, and they both very, very much believed in research and development and actually delivering products that were better than anything else out there on the market, and putting science behind it and giving us the tools and resources to be able to find out what the fish like. It's been able to get us things like power bait, the power worms, the power bait, dough bait that everybody uses for the trout out in the Serres in California area. It's allowed us to get into different areas of bass fishing. For instance, you talked about the new products and things. We've got some great new Havoc baits for the bass guys out there that have been designed specifically and in conjunction with the pros, and actually got some new designs, some new shapes, some new colors. Things like you've got things we've worked with like Mike Iaconelli, where he does the things like the Devil Spear, and we work with Gary Klein and things like the Deuce and the Twin Tail types of things. And these are what are actually being put out there on the tournament circuit and winning thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for these guys because we've designed it with their needs involved and to the things that the fish are telling us that they like. And you do that combination and you start getting real attention.
You know, when PowerBait first came out, it was extremely innovative, but that's been more than a few years ago, and it's still effective. But I thought Gulp kind of overtook that. Is that correct?
I will tell you this, John. The Gulp has performed exceptionally well in markets that are more live bait oriented. For instance, the saltwater markets where shrimp and crabs and squid and those type things are being used. And in which is a little foreign market to some of your listeners, is the walleye market. But we've got the smallmouth market that goes right along with that. And the shapes and actions and scents and flavors that are incorporated have taken that market and performed very, very well to replace some of the live baits such as night crawlers and minnows and shrimps and crab. In the bass market, the largemouth bass or black bass market, power bait still seems to be king with the power worm and those types of things. Even though the Gulp performs exceptionally well in those areas also, the guys like the diversity of power bait and the colors and shapes and actions, and then that goes right into the next generation, which is the Havoc lineup, which is more into shapes and colors and actions than power bait. We kind of concentrate a little bit more on scent and flavor, and then we put it in traditional shapes and traditional mm-hmm. colors. Whereas with the Havoc lineup, the Berkeley Havoc, we went out and stepped beyond and went that next step with color, shape, and action.
Well, you know, I've had the experience of using some of your bait in salt water, and I can attest that I think I've told the story before, is that you had a swim bait that was a Gulp some years ago, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like a six inch swim bait. Yeah, it was a Gulp. And, you know, sometimes when you're down in Baja, as Grizz can certainly attest, is that usually you can find bait, but not always. So if you got something in your bag that you can pull out that will imitate a mackerel or a swim bait that they'll attack, very, very handy thing to have. And it does work, and apparently you guys are still working in that direction.
And we've got some coming out this spring. They won't be quite the size that you'd like in the 6-inch version yet, but we've got a 4-inch and a 3-inch in a Gulp Ripple Shad, mm-hmm. which is a swim bait type with a very high action, high vibration, thumping swimming tail.
Mm-hmm.
And those are coming out in the Gulp, and those will be available. Should be right around June 1st. They should be hitting the shelves. We're introducing it to our sales staff here in a couple of weeks, the 1st of May.
And you think that might work in the salt water?
It definitely will work in the
salt
water.
Hey, Grizz, why don't we get John down to Baja and we'll see if...
Yeah, well, you know what it sounds like? It's coming out right at the right time when the Dorado are coming. So can you imagine casting those into the Dorados?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on a plane tomorrow, guys. Don't tempt me.
Oh, just tell me what airport, and I'll pick you up.
Okay.
Now, John, we are going to get you down there. Now, what John is talking about, of course, is what he primarily does. But, you know, we're also, you know, some of the other products that Berkeley has. And Grizz was asking about the Stren microfiber. We don't have time to go into that right now. But you guys are really at the forefront. And, you know, there may be some good things and bad things about being as big as you are, but the good thing is you've got the budget for research and development. So we really appreciate that, John, of you keeping us up to date of what's going on.
You bet, okay. John, no problem. And everything that we do in line and baits, for the most part, we make right here in the USA in the factory in Spirit Lake, Iowa.
Perfect. Hey, Grizz, can you stick around for a little bit?
Yeah,
and we'll keep talking.
Here.
And, John, again, thank you very much. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Brand new motor and boat with a bunch of fancy gear, crepe steaks, you know it, and lures. Every style, type, and size, if you think that'll help, you're in for a surprise, because money can't buy skill, you know the guys and me, we can catch them at will against Shadrap. You ain't no match. Fish is just something that you can't catch.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz in studio a little bit south of the border, because his program is called Adventures South of the Border, and that, of course, the border between the United States and Mexico. When you go farther south, the fishing just keeps getting better. And we're going to find out right now, because we're going to go about as far south as you can on the Baja Peninsula, all the way down to Cabo San Lucas. And we have our good friend Tony from Picante Sport Fishing that's probably right now sitting inside looking out at the beautiful weather and the beautiful girls and the beautiful marina. And we're going to find out what's going on down there, Tony.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Oh, it just keeps getting better.
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
Not a whole lot. What's happening down there? Why don't you tell us?
It's been fishing for the past 3 days, man.
It's been what?
Great fishing.
Great fishing. Okay, well, that sounds pretty good. It sounds like things are warming up. The fish are lighting up, huh?
Yes, the warmer water is getting close, so we've been catching a lot of striped marlins.
Okay. Well, that's what Cabo San Lucas is famous for, and obviously if you want to fish with the finest fleet in Cabo San Lucas, Picante Sport Fishing is certainly second to none. And you guys are staying pretty busy, and besides the striped marlin, is there anything else starting to show up? You getting any Dorado?
Yes, there is, some clients, they do want to go inshore fishing, and they're being able to catch rooster fish, yellowtail, and red snappers, also a lot of sierra. Mm-hmm. And the Dorado bite is kind of slow, you know. Mm-hmm. Not many Dorados yet.
Right. No, you still got some yellowtail down there, huh? The water's still cool enough?
It is, in the Pacific, but the Sea of Cortez is warming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from and 1150 to Punta Gorda, mm-hmm. it's already right in the spot.
Okay. And what is the water temperatures down there?
Well, right now, the water temperatures in the Pacific are between 60 to 68. And in the Sea of Cortez, they're from 69 to 77.
Whoa, that is warming up.
It is.
And, of course, the Sierras, they like the cooler water inshore, and they're a lot of fun to catch. There's no question about that. But, of course, if anybody's going to go down there, they're probably interested in catching a billfish, and it looks like they're there.
They're here, John.
Okay. And, Tony, you guys are right in the marina in Cabo San Lucas, and you're also the dealer for Cabo boats, and the boats that you guys have, most of your fleet are Cabo, and which is, some of the finest sport fishing boats built anywhere. And you've got sizes all the way up from, it's like, the 24 to 44, something like that?
24 to 25 footer, to 45 footers.
Okay. And you got them. Tony, you're
getting... They're nice, too. I fished on them.
They're very nice.
I like fishing in the 45s, huh, Tony?
Yes, you do.
Well, I actually...
You've been very successful with us, huh,
I think,
Mike?
Huh?
You've been catching a lot of fish every time you fish with us.
Well, yeah, I always catch fish.
Oh, yeah.
As you say, Tony, I guess I'm the luckiest fisherman because I never come back without nothing.
Yeah.
We always catch fish, Tony.
Yeah. Well, I think my favorite is that 32 salsa because it's fast. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
You can get up to 25 miles in about 45 minutes.
I know, John. Tassa is your favorite boat.
Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully I'll be able to fish on that in the next couple of weeks, Tony. We appreciate you coming on, and that is Picante Sport Fishing. Go to fishtalkradio.com, and right on the front page where it says Picante Sport Fishing, click on that, give them a call, and it's amazing what you can do down there. Thank you, Tony. You did a great job.
Thank you, John.
Talk to you later, Tony.
Yeah, Tony. You know, you keep so good at this, maybe we'll put you on television.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, I don't want him on television. He's too ugly. Tony, you know you can.
Okay, well, speaking of ugly, I'm sorry. We have Bob Summerow from Western Outdoor News coming up.
Well, that wasn't very nice, John.
But truthful. How are you guys?
Oh, it just keeps getting better.
Good.
Just like John, I got a face for radio.
All right. Well, that's our secret, isn't it? But
Hi, guys.
Bob is a staff writer for the, it's the Bible, the Western Outdoor News, which is, you know, I'm kind of curious. Is there anything across the nation that compares with Western Outdoor News, Bob?
There are some regional papers that are smaller than, but nobody has the following or the allegiance of the 50-year-old Western Outdoor News.
Mm-hmm.
And this paper's been around since the beginning of time, it seems. And I got to tell you, the allegiance of our readership is just amazing. And now with the wonews.com, the ability to read articles online as well, it's just great.
Obviously, some of your articles are in there.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I've got one coming out next week on our recent steelhead trip. You may recall that I went steelheading with my Road Warrior buddies mm-hmm. a little bit ago. And we went up to the Applegate River, fished it exclusively because everything else was blown out. And the Rogue River, for instance, is running at 9,000, which was insane. So we fished the Applegate, and the five of us, had a 29-fish day on steelhead.
That's incredible.
Bob, yeah. I know people that have been steelhead fishing for years and never caught one. And you're talking about doing it on a fly, is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. We're fly fishing only, barbless, catch and release. And one of the keys to our success this time, and I'll give everyone this secret, is we've started using the pegged bead system, which is a new way of indicator fishing mm-hmm. where you dangle a pegged bead down below with a hook about 2 inches trailing like a stinger.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fish takes the bead, the indicator goes down, you strike, and when you strike, it actually hooks the fish better than if the hook were embedded in the egg itself. And it's also safer for the fish and makes it easier to release because that barbless hook is usually embedded on the outside.
Let me try and picture this. You've got an indicator, and what do you use? You use yarn or something for an indicator?
Well, some people use yarn. For instance, Brian Walker, my good mm-hmm. buddy I fish with nearly every time, uses yarn. We call them Don Kings because they look like Don King's hair. And then the other kind is to use a foam ball indicator. I use something called a screw ball, which actually has a little plastic screw that attaches it to the line.
They call John that, too.
I wonder where they got that name. He probably
well, that's probably he invented that, I imagine.
I think he's going to want an endorsement fee on that one.
But, so basically you're doing is nymph fishing with a tractor pattern.
Boy, you called it exactly correct. The egg pattern, you know, it's just a bead. It looks just like an orange egg
mm-hmm.
and a little salmon egg.
So it's just like an orange bead that you could buy in a craft store.
Well, as a matter of fact, some people do use those. We tend to use some that we buy from a couple of different bead supply companies that specialize in fishing beads because they do the mottled colors and they do the oranges and the pinks and the different colors that we like. So, you know, it makes it a little more special. It's like, you know, using an indicator, which is actually a bobber, but we call it an indicator.
Mm-hmm.
I never would fish with one of them. I refuse to.
Well,
is that right?
And when I drifted, anytime I nymph fished, I'd do a half cast back over, watch my leader, and just watch the end of my line.
You know,
I never could get into that putting a little bobber on there.
Yeah, well, you know, to each their own. And I got to tell you, it's a catch rate thing.
Yeah, I was.
Grizz, yeah, I miss a lot more.
Grizz, I was just going to say that. What did you say? 29 fish in one day.
Yeah, 29 in one day. And by the way, the smallest was 25 inches.
Well, and there are people. The other thing is, you know, it's hooking one is very exciting, but that's when the fun starts.
Because you get
a 25 inch in the river, and you know, the boat's moving, they're moving, they're swimming upstream, downstream, and there's logs and rocks.
And, well, I'll tell you a brief story. We were all wade fishing. We didn't take boats because there were five of us. So we would just jump onto a stretch of river, spread out for a mile up and down the river, and then start chasing fish. You'd hook a fish, you'd be running down or upstream with it, trying to keep up with it as he's stripping line down through your backing. And, you know, you might have 100 yards of line out, and you're still running after the darn fish. It's a ball.
Yeah, I love fishing steelhead.
And by the way, of course, all the while it's raining and sleeting and 38 degrees.
I don't like that very much anymore.
Well, your adrenaline will keep you warm, that's for sure. You know, but what Grizz is talking about is that, steelhead is pretty difficult on a dry fly. Don't you use a sinking?
Well, yeah, of course, midge fishing and nymph fishing is always done on a floating line,
right.
But the actual flies are sinking.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're doing it with an indicator or without an indicator, you still have to get those flies down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the fish are.
Right, and part of the problem is that, when you're steelhead fishing, and especially in the smaller rivers, you're mostly sight fishing, aren't you?
Well, you try to, but it's not often very, very easy to do because the water is going to be colored often, especially after a rain or during a rain. It's going to be all tea colored, and you're not going to really be able to see much. But, you know, it's a fish of 1,000 casts, and, you know, if you catch 29 of them, you can imagine how our arms were hurting.
Yeah, it's pretty. I never did any dry fly fishing on steelhead, but I always used it. A tractor pattern and drift, and then put a twisty on and to get it down.
Yeah, well, the problem, Grizz, is that there's a lot of water and not that many fish. So, you know, just putting it out there and hoping that you're in the same spot. But, and of course, sight fishing for them is, it's amazing what trout, which is basically a steelhead, they're virtually invisible when you're looking down at them. Yeah.
Well,
so,
John, I'm gonna jump in there and tell you the one key factor is keep moving.
Okay.
Don't
well, you
work
know what?
The same
I'm just
stretch.
I'm just looking at the clock. It looks like we're out of time, Bob. But thank you for that lesson on steelhead fishing, and we're gonna be right back with you with Fish Talk Radio. Grizz is gonna be sticking around. Bob Summerow, thank you very much, and good luck with Western Outdoor News. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be right back with you momentarily.
Oh Lord. Honey, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngins. Let's go.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
Got a touch of them fisherman blues. I'm going fishing. Now let me tell you now.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and Grizz and I are having a little fishing party today. Grizz, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, John, but could you bring some more crackers?
You know what? I'm going to be down there hopefully in a very short period of time, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring some smoked fish, maybe some smoked salmon, and some crackers.
Oh, that'd be great. I love salmon.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get much of that down here.
And when are we going down there?
Oh, my gosh. We forgot Mark is on the line.
I'm just here hanging out in the background. Yeah. Don't worry about me.
Mark.
Oh, that's okay, Mark. We never do.
Mark Lazine.
I'll just be in the back catching all the fish.
The editor of Bass Angler Magazine is on the line with us. And, you know, I guess this is going to be, I don't know, I guess you can catch bass almost any time of the year, but this has got to be, you know, one of the peak of the seasons. Is it right after?
This is really close. Almost no matter where you live, right now the bass are biting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're in California, Florida, you know, as long as the ice has melted up there in Minnesota, you should be able to catch them. They're biting just about everywhere.
That here makes a go-to.
They're going off the hook.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't talked to you for a while, so you've probably been out fishing.
I have been. I spent probably 15, 20 days on the Delta since last time we talked, and I've caught just a boatload of fish there, just having a great time.
Now, are these largemouth, smallmouth, stripers, or what are you fishing for?
I'm catching all largemouth there. I've caught an occasional striper by accident.
Okay.
So they're kind of a jolt because the stripers bite really hard, you know, and you're reeling in your bait and a striper just grab it, take off, and, you know, for a second there you think you got a world record, but then it turns into a big silver-sided bass.
Well, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, they're a lot of fun. A lot of fun unless you're fishing a tournament, and then they're a little frustrating.
Yeah. Well, what part of the Delta do you find the bass?
You know, I've been catching them almost everywhere. The West Delta, like Antioch Big Break, has not been so good lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's been a little muddy, and I think because they're releasing a little water up the Sacramento, it's been a little colder there. But, you know, up north, White Slough area has been good. Down south, Victoria, Woodward area, the Central Delta around Mildred. Frank's Track is starting to come back, and that's doing really well. So, you know, anywhere except the West Delta, I think you can go catch fish right now. And, you know, then the West Delta, as soon as things start warming up, should be picking up again here any day.
Well, I tell you, the Sacramento River is one of the most incredible fisheries, I think. You know, it compares to anything in the world because, you know, you go all the way up to Lake Shasta, all the way down to San Francisco. And, you know, it's the same river, but it just, you know, as it gets closer to the Delta, I guess it warms up a little bit and you get to more bass. But, you know, it's great for, you know, bass, for salmon, for steelhead, for stripers.
Yeah, it's an incredible world-renowned fishery. You know, it's 52 different species of fish that live in the Delta alone, and I don't think that's including the salt that, you know, out in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
You get out there, then you have, you know, the sharks, halibut, striper, salmon, you know, everything else. Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible fishery.
Great. Hey, did you get any luck in your tournaments?
You know, last one I was 5 ounces out of the money, and so I just had a really bad first day and had a really good second day. It just wasn't quite enough.
Well,
you know,
that's
so
fishing. That's fishing.
I'm looking forward to doing better. I'm going to Clear Lake, in a couple weeks, and I'll be throwing the big Alabama rig there and hoping to, you know, get some big ones and cash a big
check.
Well,
that's, yeah, Clear Lake is certainly the size. I think there's more bass per square meter than any lake in the world, but we hope you have good luck up there.
Clear Lake has been just phenomenal here. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, I went there a couple times early in the winter when fishing is usually not that good, and we've caught, you know, 5 and 6 pounders just like nothing.
Right. Now, if someone wants to find more about it, I know that they can subscribe to Bass Angler Magazine, and I suppose they could probably do something online. So give us some quick information on how to get in touch with you.
Well, you know, I think we have the world's best bass magazine, and you can find out the information at bassanglermag.com. So go on there, take a look, and there's a subscribe now button. Fill that out, send it in, and, you know, we'll be happy to send you an issue, and you get to see what we're all about.
Cool. Bassanglermag.com. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you. And then, hey, Grizz, a couple months, I'm coming down to see you.
Let's do it.
I'm waiting on you, buddy.
Let's do it. I'm waiting on you
every day.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. We're gonna stay in California, but go off the coast a little bit. We have Tom Matus on the line with us from the Hooley Cat out of Half Moon Bay. And, Tom, I have to say, you are one of the most innovative, creative charter boat captains that I know of, because no matter what the weather or what the bite is, you always find a way to do something and catch fish. But right now, it's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it?
Salmon just opened, and we were doing great. We went out opening day, and we averaged fish a rod for 16 anglers. Everybody had action. We lost a few, landed plenty. The next day, we were two fish shy of limits for the entire boat. That was Easter Sunday, but we quit early so that the folks could go have Easter with family and friends.
So they had salmon for Easter.
Oh, I'm telling you, it beats Easter eggs anytime.
Yeah.
Did you actually hunt salmon eggs?
You know, somebody actually did save all the salmon eggs because they wanted to save them for roe. And coincidentally, on Sunday, every single fish was a female, so they got a massive Ziploc full of salmon eggs, a lot of roe.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the salmon that you're talking about, the salmon that you're talking about are out of the Sacramento River, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Sacramento River and its different tributaries, the Sacramento River drainage system.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, one of the things when I talked to you about earlier today, I'm thinking, well, let's see, it's about $750 to fly to Ketchikan, and then it's how many dollars per boat per day, and how many kings are you allowed to catch? One. what is there any size to these king salmon that you're getting?
Oh, because we're trying to protect the winter run, we started our season with a 24-inch size limit. So for the first 2 months, you've got a 6-8 pound fish if it's minimum legal. That's really nice. And I'll tell you, for that $750, you're looking at about 7-8 trips on local charter boats here. So I think we're going to have to bring you and a few buddies up and show you how it's done here in this nice cold water. Enjoy some of these king salmon. Again, this year we cannot keep the coho. So far we haven't seen any. But it's been just a great opener, and a lot of people are excited.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but it seems to me that there is a cycle to these things. Last year and the year before, was it 2-3 years ago, they closed the season down completely, right?
That's correct. It was closed for 2 years. Last year we had a season. There was different rules and constrictions and cutoffs. We got an attempt. People caught a few fish. I caught more fish on Saturday and Sunday than I ever landed in any day last year. So just no matter how you look at it, this year has just got benefits. I was out whale watching, and I was hearing the radio, and the boats in Santa Cruz, for instance, were limiting in 3 hours and coming in. So it just doesn't get any better than that.
Okay, let's go, Grizz.
I'm ready. Well, wait, is it warm?
Well,
I don't want to get cold.
Well, it's you're talking
tell
about the Bay Area.
In the middle of summer here to dress in layers.
Yeah.
I wear 3 layers of clothing when I go to work in the summer.
Well, you know, I did a lot of guiding up in Alaska and fished all Alaska and all of that. And, you know, the only layer of clothes I put on now is a pair of shorts and my underwear. So I never take off any layers now. And I never wear shoes hardly anymore.
Yeah, you're one of those types. I see those types get on board. You make me cold when you step on the boat.
I shiver when I drink cold water. I'm spoiled being down here in Baja, you know. I get to do so much fishing. But, you know, I come from Montana, so I'm very familiar with the cold.
Yeah, well, there's not too many kings in Montana. Tom, if you wouldn't mind, give us a quick idea how you're catching these.
We're trolling. We use what's called a crowbar. That's an average 3.5 to 5.5 inch hook. Inserted the length of an anchovy, pinned through the eye. You've got a 6 to 8 foot leader, a sinker release, trolling with a 2.5 pound ball. The boat's moving at about 2.8 knots. Once in a while, we'll use a big hotspot flasher and a hoochie, put that down about 50 feet. The baits, we're generally fishing anywhere from 15 to 45 feet. We can fish as many as 20, 22 in a boat. And we fish shallower on the bow. It's kind of like a graduated curtain all the way down. The next person in line is always 2 to 3 feet deeper than the next person. So we're able to work multiple lines. And it's just so exciting, so rewarding when you just hear people screaming, "Fish on!" It's been so long. You can't get tired of something like that.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to visualize. You've got 24 people, and what did you got, a 55? How big is the Hooli Cat?
53.
Okay. And that certainly is a curtain, so you must be quite an orchestrator.
Well, we tell people in their little lecture in the morning, we want to see a ballet. If somebody's line is trapped, in essence, between the hull and the next angler, we say, okay, you take your rod out of the rod holder, hold it high, form a little bridge. That person slips under. If your line is outside the next guy coming down, you just move on down, get that other person out of your way. We get them down into the corner, make a slight turn, keep that fish on the corner. Deckhand makes the stab with the net, closes the bag, pulls it up.
Very exciting. Tom, we're going to have to let you go, but if somebody wants to come and see you, it's Hooli Cat is the boat, and what is your website?
HooliCat.com, HooliCat.com.
That sounds exciting. You'll see me up there for sure. Grizz, maybe you can make it too. Anyway, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We really appreciate you guys turning in, and you can always visit FishTalkRadio.com.